Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Today is the last day of May, May the 31st. And we welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to have your comments and your questions because then that makes this your show. We just got back from the prison with Rex and Mitzi and had an awesome time there, and I'm sure Michael's going to share some about that. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. We are honored and delighted that you're here with us to share this time and to tap into this awesome technology that changes lives and changes lives so dramatically. It's called forgiveness. But not the falsity that we've been taught in our culture is forgiveness. We're never going to invite you to let anybody off the hook because your mind, your body, your emotions, your physiology is producing some form of turmoil or pain. What we're going to invite you to do, if your mind, your body, your emotions, your physiology is producing some form of turmoil or pain, we're going to invite you to engage in the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness, the exact opposite of what our culture teaches. Rather than letting somebody else off the hook for what's going on inside of you, we're going to actually invite you to step into the use of a worksheet that shows you how to go inside of yourself to delete, to remove the hostility, the fear, the grief, the rage, the pain, the drama, and the trauma that most people have lived in all of their lives. And what most people do when they're in that kind of pain or trauma is they want to deny that they've ever had anything like that happen before, and it really is happening just because of what you did. This is all your fault. It's this situation. It has nothing to do with what I bring to the game. And you watch people who are in major breakdown. They've been in major breakdown over and over and over again in their lives, but they swear that this breakdown is all about them and what they're doing. And that 100% of the time is a lie. If you're in a major breakdown, guess what? It's because you have that breakdown inside of you. Now, can you successfully hide that from yourself? Yes, for a time period you can, but sooner or later somebody's going to show up and do something. And the less willing you are to listen, the harder the universe is going to come in with its 2x4 and crack you upside the head, cancel the thought, to say, hey, what are you carrying around inside of you with which you're destroying yourself? Stop blaming the world. Stop blaming everybody that's in it and recognize the reason you're experiencing this is because it's your content. It belongs to you. This trauma, this turmoil isn't about what they did. It isn't about what's happening today. It's about what's going on inside of you. And as you engage in that process of forgiveness, you begin to remove those things that never belonged. You know, the reason that we're still in Michigan, we were supposed to be long gone from here. Actually, last Sunday, we'd have been on the road driving to Tennessee. But last Friday, we went into a prison. We had 2 hours. They're very precise. This is a super high security prison here in Michigan, actually the highest security. It's considered a disciplinary prison. And we worked with about 36 men last week, and it was really pretty cool today. We had one gentleman, when we did the worksheet last week, because they're so precise on their time, like, you got 2 hours, that's it. They're out of there because they have to be back in their cells for count and everything runs by the clock. So we got through step 5A in the worksheet and never really did get to finish that. And we had this gentleman who told us he was 68 years of age. He came to me at the intermission, and I asked if he wouldn't mind sharing this with the group. I don't know how many years he's been in prison, but it looked like he'd been there a long time. And he shared with the group, he shared with me that for 68 years he's had this problem with his mother. And his mother's always trying to control him, always knows more than he does, and is always all over him. And so what he shared was, after we finished the workshop on Friday, he was expecting a visit from his mother on Sunday. She's 93. And so we'd only gone to step five, but he finished the worksheet out himself on Friday. And his mother started her whole little routine of she knows better than he does and telling him what to do. And he's 16, he's in prison. He's been there for decades, but she's going to tell him what to do. Anyway, he shared that it was the best visit he'd ever had with his mother because all of a sudden all this tension was gone. His mother started to do her routine, and he said, oh, Mom's doing her routine. Okay, I don't have to buy in. I don't have to be controlled by that. He said it was the best visit in 68 years, the best time he's ever had with his mom, who's 93. They're the kind of changes that can take place. So I'm always in charge of what's going on inside of me, unless I play the game of denial. What does denial look like? You made me. It's the way you're doing it. That's what upsets me. And that's always totally and completely hiding a part of our own minds from us. The reason you're feeling what you're feeling is because of what's going on inside of you, not because of anything anybody else does. And if you're ready to change that feeling, then you need to start to go toward it with forgiveness in your heart. And forgiveness means I go inside myself and I remove what's happening inside of me. And that's what we're here to support you in learning. That's what we're here to learn ourselves. And so, Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us? Do we have David with us today?
They're both with us and they're both on.
Well, good. David, how do you be, sir?
I'm doing very well, Michael. Thank you for asking. Sounds like things are going really well for you up there in Michigan. Are you guys going to visit some more prisons?
Well, there were two other prisons that had invited us, and when we had written back to the deputy warden at this prison we've been in now, this is the fourth session we've done with them, he said he was going to pass their information on. We were hoping to get in there yesterday, into those other two yesterday and this afternoon. However, because we didn't have a way to contact the people who were in charge, we kind of had to sit and wait for them to contact us, and we still haven't heard from them. Although, when we met with the deputy warden this morning after our session, he dropped into the session a couple of times, but then afterward he said, oh, you know, the folks in Carson City, man, we told them last week they wanted you right away. It's like, well, we didn't hear from them, so, you know. So it looks like we're going to turn that over to Rex and Mitzi, and Rex and Mitzi are, we set up dates. There's apparently a training program they need to go through, a couple of hours for going into the prison, and then they're going to start an 8-week series, and they were going to limit it to 50 men to start with. They're going to start an 8-week series of support group, and there'll be assignments each week. They'll have to turn in worksheets and all of that, and if they complete that, by that time, Rex and Mitzi will have gone through Laws of Living, and so they're going to start an 8-week Laws of Living. So their ticket into Laws of Living is going to be that they've completed all the assignments from the 8-week support group. So that's pretty awesome, and we're turning the contact information over for Flint and Carson City prisons to Rex and Mitzi. Can somebody turn on their, hit their mute button? We got a lot of noise. So we're going to turn that over to Rex and Mitzi to handle. We're going to be on the road tomorrow morning to Bristol, Tennessee. So we're We're going to make a stop and see a friend, actually a woman who's 93, who's in Dayton, Ohio. She's been doing this work for about 25 years now, and realizing we were heading in that direction, we contacted her to say we were going to adjust our route a little bit to stop by and see her, and so that's going to be quite delightful. And it just turns out that, happens to turn out that her son's birthday is Sunday, which is also Jeannie's birthday. Happy Eternal Day to you, sweetie. And so so the family's invited us to be there for a luncheon with her son's birthday and to celebrate Jeannie's birthday, too. So it'll be pretty cool. And then we'll be on to Bristol.
Sounds like a good plan. Congratulations on the work that you did there. I know that that's going to make a significant difference in the people's lives that you communicated with. It's pretty amazing. Congratulations.
Well, it really was fabulous. We probably had out of the, let's see, the total in the two groups, we had about maybe 65 people that we worked with. Probably out of the 65, maybe 8 of them really have some sense. You know, they've been doing some work. Probably about 8 of them who came up and spoke with us really comprehended and knew what they got. Probably 50 of them got it and are ready to move forward. There were maybe 5 or 6 who went through the whole thing and kind of, you know, were sort of like, I've got a shield up. Nobody's going to tell me anything. So I feel like that was just awesome, and it'll be interesting to see how many sign up. We're talking about the prison likes to have some kind of a gauge, and so we're going to look for a volunteer. We're actually going to look for some volunteers in the Lansing, Ionia area, somewhere in that area, who will help, because I think we're going to get to administer the personal code evaluation to everybody that goes into the course. We're going to need somebody who will mark that, so we're hoping that someone will come to Laws of Living and will come and help with that, and then help Rex and Mitzi to do, because we're at this stage we're looking at probably a 16-week program overall, and we'll do a second evaluation at the end of the 8 weeks and an evaluation at the end of the 16 weeks and hand that those scores over to the prison to say, here's what you got, here's the change. And they are so motivated, they so much want. And one of the things I was realizing, you know, when we did this in Albany, Georgia, we did a pretrial release program, which meant that these guys had a chance to never have to go into the prison system beyond their initial incarceration, which might have been the first 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. You know, people would come before the judge would say, okay, do this evaluation. If we decide that you're a candidate, then we're going to offer you this course. You'll pay for the course, and if you do what, you know, is required of you, then the court will sign a contract with you. You'll sign a contract with the court. In essence, the court had total control of their lives, committed any time, do a urine analysis for drugs, alcohol. But they were able to avoid going into the system at all, or if they were, you know, going back again, they were able to stop themselves from getting back in jail. And in essence, by cutting recidivism by 90%, we emptied the jail. But this is a different situation. I know that I didn't get to, you know, talk to everybody that was there, but there was one gentleman who shared that he'd been in there 17 years, and he had another 16 years minimum to serve. So I don't think we're going to be as concerned about the recidivism in the jail being empty so that they're out of business, because what happened in Albany, Georgia is the sheriff threw it out because he was out of business, basically. He had no income because they get paid per prisoner per day. But this is a different situation. Most of these guys, like the guys we worked with today, are in there for 25-plus years. And so what the prison is looking to do is to create an environment where they're not having a stabbing every other week, and they're not having an attack on the guards and that sort of thing. So they're really motivated to support it. And we had a meeting with the chaplain and the deputy warden. I've never been welcomed by a warden in a jail or a prison in all the places I've been, and they were just so welcoming and so into it. And yes, we want it. Let's continue. Let's move forward. So it was really pretty awesome, pretty sweet, pretty sweet. It was definitely worth hanging out here for an extra week.
Wow. Well, once again, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. We're on it. Appreciate the support.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Chim, how do you be today, sir?
Doing beautifully, thank you. Glad to be here, listening in, sending love and support, hoping we have some people that have calls and questions to spruce up the show a little bit today. And just wanted to mention I've been thinking about the caller from yesterday and her courage to come in and lay out some of those issues, and how Rex was saying she's been working so diligently, and I've been sending love and prayers and hoping that that energy is wafting its way and having a positive impact. I was thinking about you guys today as you're in the prison and knowing it was going well. So just glad to be on the team and be alive and be using the tools.
Well, we certainly appreciate you. We appreciate David. Thank you. And everybody that holds a space, the intensity the last several weeks between setting up yesterday morning, our time was consumed with a new magazine interview with some folks in Sweden for a large magazine there. And so we're working on setting up Sweden between Sweden and intensives and doing the workshops here and setting up the prisons and trying to catch up with each of the prisons that wanted us there. It's been, what word should I use? I was going to say overwhelmed, not quite overwhelmed, but I'm ready for a few quiet minutes. It's been pretty intense. So I've been on my feet. Yes, and I appreciate the whole team that's on the phone, wherever everybody's from, and I know that you're holding that space, that you're sending that energy of love and support, and that certainly is part of what lifts us up to be able to do what we do. And we need every bit of support we can get, and we certainly open ourselves, Jeannie and I both open ourselves to channel that energy through to touch each person that has a load to process. It was really gratifying to see such a large number of men who, well, the gratifying part wasn't this, but you know, basically when they came in, you could see that, you know, there were a couple of them that were in pretty good shape. But otherwise, it's like, you know, I've given up. This is just hell that I live in. And to watch the hellish look on their faces turn to smiles and appreciation and thanks and handshakes and yes, I'm going to do this is plenty of reward. It's pretty awesome to watch. And I know that of these 65 or so men that we worked with, how it will filter out, I know we handed out, you know, one of the things we talk about when we talk about drugs and alcohol is the impact on the brain, and we had the chart from brainplace.com on the use of pot and what it does to the brain, little literal physical pictures, and we had at least one young man who said, could I get a couple more copies of that to send to my family? A number of them spoke about their kids and how they see their kids moving in the same direction and are enthused about being able to change that direction. And we hope we can hold this whole group and this whole prison and everybody in the country and everybody in the world that's locked into a prison, whether it's a physical prison or just a prison between their ears, that they start to get loose of that and recommit to and reevaluate the fact that they are human beings, that they are this. And for anybody who's new to the show, you know, our definition of love is an easy one. There are no words to it because there are not words big enough to describe what that condition of love is. But hold a newborn child, and you know exactly what love is. And that's what we're looking to create a space to restore to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And so we certainly appreciate everybody's support, funneling energy to and through us to all of these people that we're working with to hold this space and to bring about the kind of transformation that we're looking to create. And so, and I especially want to put forward a thank you to Yeshua. Without the genius insights and the tools that he gave 2,000 years ago in Aramaic, And I put forward a thank you to Dan McDougald, who really, you know, started to do this work in the prisons. You know, my thing was doing it more in churches, and Dan had traveled a similar path to mine, only doing it in the prisons. And so it's kind of inspires me, and I'm sure that Dan's energy was right there with every move in this whole process. That was the thing that was closest to his heart, was freeing people from this life of incarceration and trauma. So thank you, everybody, for your support. It's awesome. And then to Rex and Mitzi and Jeannie, to be in there. Each person did a piece in the whole process, and it was just amazing, just amazing. Thank you, everybody. So, Dr. Tim, any theme happening in your work today? Anything on your mind to move us in a direction?
Well, the theme for me today has been around relationships. There have been several people in marriages where the interactions have led people to believe that their spouse has made them angry, or their spouse has trapped them, or their spouse is causing all the disruption in the house. So that's been the theme, trying to help people understand that we literally choose every day to stay in a relationship. And if we don't believe we're choosing it, we're just kidding ourselves. And in that choice to stay lies the very value of the relationship. And that what I'm feeling in my relationships is, whether I realize it or not, the perfect tool or introduction to what I need to work on to heal to make my life better. It isn't what this other person is doing to me. It's what life and the relationship are bringing to my awareness that I need to heal, if it's anything less than love. That's been the theme so far today. And it's a tricky one for people when their stuff is up. But that's the theme.
Yeah, it's kind of a, there comes a point, I know, in doing the work, and I say this from my own experience, where it kind of gets to be old hat. It's like, geez, do I have to face me again? You know, can't I just for once just say it's all their fault and blame them and say they have to change so I don't have to feel this? No, you're only feeling it because you have that content in you. You're not feeling it because of what anybody else did. And that it comes back over and over and over again to, oh, this is about me? Well, when can I blame them? Never.
Yeah, well,
what if they did this terrible thing?
Exactly the same thing. Two different people said some version of, wait a minute, it can't always be me.
It's always your physiology that's producing your feelings. It's not anybody else's. I could tell that story that Jeannie loves for me to tell so much.
Do I hear sarcasm?
And you could let it go.
Okay, I'll tell it. Jeannie wants me to do it. I could tell by the tone of her voice. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's like it does after a while get old, because we tend, you know, our whole culture has taught us so deeply to deny and dissociate from this. And of course, when I deny and dissociate, I'm literally setting up a measurable energy wave. Somebody's going to come in and bounce off of that wave, and they're going to do it, and they're going to bring that up in me again. Now, I can try to force them to stop, and if I do, that doesn't change the content of my own mind, and that content that's in my mind, which means it's in my cells, because every cell in the body functions to store information. Every cell is a brain cell, so to speak. Then if that energy that person resonates in me and shows to me again and again and again and again is never faced directly by me, then it's destroying my cellular structure. I need somebody to show it to me. And so every time I come up against my frustration, I've got to realize this is my frustration. No, it's not theirs. Well, but Michael, they did something so terrible. Hey, you know what? I saw them do it too. What they did was terrible. I agree 100%. You know, I think that everybody on the planet would look at what they did and say, you're right, that's terrible. But that's not the cause of your pain or your turmoil. So they did something terrible, they'd be in pain and turmoil over what they did that was so terrible. But if what they did resonated something in me that I haven't dealt with, then I can pretend and play the game that I'm only feeling this because of what they did. And that's always, 100% of the time, a fraud. It's a lie. It's just not true. 100% of the time when I'm feeling something, it's because I have that in me. And when I choose to change it, I get to shift everything in me. And that leads to a whole different game. And that's what we're looking to do, is to play a whole different game. And that's one where human life shows up in us 24/7, 365, whatever anybody else does is irrelevant. Would we prefer that this person do it differently? Sure, I agree with you. All 7.5 billion people on the planet who look at them would say, yeah, it would be better if they did it differently. And the way they did it isn't the cause of what I'm feeling. The cause of what I'm feeling is my own content. And as long as I'm not willing to work through and let go of what doesn't belong in me, then what I'm going to tend to do is I'm going to tend to keep experiencing the same old things. It's just time for us to get done with it. So we're here to support you living as that awesome being that you are, as the presence of love, and to let go of everything that's less than love. And so, Jeannie, do we have any questions in the chat room, or does anybody have a hand up?
We do have a hand
up. In the phone queue.
Everybody in the chat room. Actually, we have three hands up, but all but one in the chat room are guests, so they can't talk. But anyway, our first caller is 970. You're on the air. Who do we have, and where are you calling from?
My name is Cindy, and I'm calling from Southwest Colorado. Hi.
Welcome. How are you, young lady?
I'm a very good friend of Carrie's. And
okay, cool. I bet you're missing her.
I am very much.
Well, there's an opportunity to heal the missing part.
Yes. About a year and a half ago, she pointed my new husband and I in the direction of your work, and we got the book, and we have read the book. We're on the second reading now. We're doing worksheets. We're listening to DVDs, and it's just unbelievable how it has changed our lives. Absolutely incredible. My story is 10 miles long, so I'm not going to get into it. Right now, we've got a really, really big crisis. A couple of weeks ago, Carrie actually called in for me. My daughter is in an abusive relationship and into alcohol big time. And you and Dr. Tim gave us some awesome advice about interventions and everything. Carrie was speaking for me, and she didn't have all the details. We had done an intervention. We've been in the hospital with her with seizures. She is trying very hard to get to the AA meetings and to stay sober. Right now, the biggest problem is her husband. Her husband has come into our family, which is an incredible family. We've gone through unbelievable stuff, and we're still all together. He has come into the family and absolutely ripped through us like a tornado, triggered all kinds of stuff, and thanks to your message, we're dealing with it. We all realize that we're being triggered by him. What happens is he actually takes her to bars and encourages her to drink with him. And she has gotten to the point where she's had enough. A couple hours from now, she's an hour away from me, she's going to come and stay with me, at least for a night, maybe two. The family, she has two beautiful children, 7 years old, and they're in the process of, you need to go, you need to go, and he's been in the home, and she has been staying with her sister, and now it's back and forth. It's really volatile right now, very, very bad. He is incredibly emotionally abusive. So far, we don't think physically, but we have all experienced it directly from him, and we've all dealt with it. And I just, you've already talked about it. Dr. Tim was talking about it, exactly, about the relationships. And so I thought I'd call and just ask for some advice on this. Isn't there a point at which, you know, how much can the forgiveness go when you're with an abusive person like that? Isn't there a time when you have to do something else?
Here'd be my input. Here's my input. Everybody has a right to say, you know, enough is enough. You want to live a certain way. Here's how I want to live. It doesn't match, so it's time for me to move on. Everybody has a right to say that. Your daughter, you, everyone has that right. But here's the point. If I'm not finished with my drama and trauma around it, and the way I can tell whether or not I'm finished with my drama or trauma is, am I still feeling some sort of drama and trauma around this? If I choose to move on and say, you know, enough, I'm finished with this relationship, I love you, I bless you, you can move on, do your life your way, I'm going to do mine differently, I want to make sure I continue to do my work, or here's what I know will happen, I'll pull somebody back in to do the whole game with me again. So that would be my input in that regard. So I'm going to keep working around my issues until I'm simply not capable of any form of hostility or fear, whatever they do. And, you know, if someone's in a dangerous situation, which it sounds like your daughter, if she has a taste for alcohol and realizes she's an alcoholic and she's got somebody who encourages her to drink, that sounds like a dangerous situation. That may very well be the place where, and of course, you as a mom can't really make this choice for her. She's going to have to do it of her own volition, or if you try to make it for her, she's going to tend to feel controlled and resent you. But if it's time for her to say that, it's time for her to say, you know, I've said I want to complete this, you know, drinking thing, and I want to stop, and so I'm not going to do this with you anymore. And if that means that we have to split, then, you know, then we have to split. But I would still encourage her to keep doing her work around that so she doesn't have to pull somebody else in. I know I've seen people who've left an alcoholic relationship and they specifically look for somebody who doesn't even drink, and 5 years later that person's in the bottle again. Because we're going to pull in whoever and whatever we need. So that would be my input, is keep her doing her work so that she doesn't have to pull into that type of relationship again. Or perhaps it's time to do an intervention with him and say, you know, we want to support our daughter. We want to support you. She doesn't choose to leave this relationship, but something has to change. So we're looking for your agreement. And, you know, see if you can create some sort of an agreement with him that he's willing to do it differently. But, you know, if he's taking her to the bars, it's probably because he's as much of an alcoholic as she is, and, you know, misery loves company.
Yeah, he is, and he does pot, and he's in total denial. His whole history is, I shouldn't say this, but he is from Ireland, and both of his parents suffered from alcoholism really badly. And,
well, you know why God created alcohol, don't you?
I can't remember. Why? I know you've said
it. So that the Irish wouldn't rule the world.
Okay. Yeah. well, they're still... Oh, never mind. okay. I'm really going
to... So it might be time to do an intervention with him, would be my message.
Yes. Okay. I've actually had that thought too. The hard part for me is she's coming over here, and I don't want to encourage her to break up her marriage. That shouldn't come from me.
Right, I agree.
But there is hope because she has really isolated herself, and she is starting to at least phone me. So I think
say it again. She's starting to which?
She's starting to at least telephone me, and she is coming over here.
Stay in
for
touch.
Asylum, really, basically.
Cool.
So I'm just trying very hard to get my ducks in a row before she shows up, so that I can, you know, maybe guide her.
Are you familiar with the relationship commitment that we have on the website?
Yes, I have it hanging in my house. My daughters
okay.
have it hanging
so
in
their
house.
So I'd start a conversation out with her.
Yeah.
I'd start a conversation out with her with the commitment and say, sweetheart, this is what I hold for you. How can I support you now? What do you want to do? And listen to her, and perhaps even bring a therapist into that conversation so that the therapist can help to keep you in clarity so that you're being responsible and in integrity with where you need to stand as a parent, and to help her to work through the things that come up with her to get clear as to whether or not you know, an intervention is appropriate toward him.
Yeah.
I mean, my thought, Dr.
Okay.
Tim, do you have any thoughts in that regard? I know that's the kind of situation you've worked on before.
Well, yeah, the first thing I want to say is this came up even again this last Tuesday in our group. It comes up fairly frequently. One of the biggest misconceptions about this work is that when we start talking about love and I need to restore myself to the place of love, people get it in their head that we're saying you need to be a doormat and lay down and let people abuse you.
Yeah.
And nothing could be further from the truth. What we're talking
Absolutely.
About in that situation is restoring ourselves, restoring my awareness to my true nature as love, and that gives me the highest and best evidence, the highest and best thinking possible, which is what I want to have when I'm in a situation where it's potentially abusive. And in those situations, I act more appropriately, I set better limits, I act lovingly but appropriately to set limits with people who may be abusive, I get out of abusive situations, I avoid stepping into them, because I'm not functioning from anger or fear, sadness or confusion, guilt, shame or blame, all of which cloud my thinking and have me focusing on things that I have no control over. But I'm coming from a place of love, and I love the way Guy Finley talks about it when he says, please don't use this as an excuse to get into or stay into an abusive relationship. If you tell someone clearly and plainly what you find acceptable and not acceptable, they make their own choices, and you are not responsible for what they put themselves through when you leave. So I just have to echo everything Michael said and reinforce the idea that there's nothing in this work that says love people and let them abuse you.
Yeah.
Everything in this work is about love people as you release them if they choose to stay in an abusive pattern, if they choose to stay focused on anger and fear and sadness, but release them to have that as their own choice, and move away and protect yourself and those that you have any capacity to protect. And as you move away, send them love and know that the only reason they're acting the way they're acting is because of their own pain. I love the way Way of Mastery talks about it and says, everything is either an extension of love or a cry for help and healing. So as I move away from somebody who chooses to stay in anger or fear or mental or emotional abuse, I send them love and I send them thoughts of healing as I move away. And I try and move anybody else who needs help in moving away from an abusive situation to move away from them. But I don't let myself sit in anger and fear. If that comes up in me, I do the work to dismantle it.
Yeah.
And many people, if you choose to move away or you choose to hold them accountable, will try to turn it around and make it about you again. They'll try to turn it back on you, and that's where you can simply sit in the place of clarity and love and say, you know, I love you, I support you, and I see you're in a lot of pain, and I invite you to take responsibility for your pain. And by the way, I have a tool if you'd like to use it. If you'd like some support, I'm here to do it. But loving your neighbor does not mean that you can't hold them accountable for their behavior.
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify that this isn't just theory, and this isn't just, oh, it's fine because I'm talking to somebody else. Michael was at my house for a visit a few years ago when my oldest son had been in a period in his life where he decided no one was going to tell him how to live his life. He decided the judge, the police, the neighborhoods where he hung out, no one could tell him that he was wrong. And I woke up one morning and went to a business networking meeting, and on my way into the meeting, the headline in the paper was my son's picture and a list of 5 felonies he'd been charged with. I got a call later that day from, you know, a tearful call from my ex-wife, we have to go bail him out, and I said, I'm sorry, but I've told him for years I would not bail him out if he got into this kind of trouble. So I went through this sending him love. I went to the jail and stared at a video screen and talked into a microphone. He wasn't even in the same room with us. We weren't allowed to have that. And I sat there and cried with him as he cried about how he can't take this and I need to save him and I need to bail him out. And I said, I love you, son. And I hope you make different choices in the future. But I've told you for years, if you keep making these choices, I will not bail you out. And he ended up spending 7 days the first time and 38 days the next time in the jail to make good on what he had done. And they were his choices. And I made reference to Michael being here. Michael even gave him the option of Michael going to bat for him with the prosecutor and the judge and having him be able to avoid his 38-day jail sentence. And my son rejected it because Michael talks about God. That's not my thing. And I just said, okay, son, bless your heart. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to pay for an attorney to get you off. And he had a public defender. And he made his own choice, and he decided rather than to go to Heartland Retreat Center, he would go into the county jail for 38 days. And I did what I'm recommending you do now. I breathed, I did tapping, I sent love, I did worksheets, and I sent him the energy of love, and I held the space of love knowing he's his own soul, he's making his own choices, and it's all going to work out one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't easy, but it's the best thing I know to do for myself and those I care about.
Yeah. And even for the husband. Because if she can get clarity on that, then there's a possibility that he could also start to change.
Yeah, when you hold people accountable, they're going to do one of two things. They're going to want to puke all over you, or they're going to own it and say, I've got work to do, and they'll start to move. I know that one of my mentors was a man named Judge Asa Kelly. Kelly was a Superior Court judge in Albany, Georgia. Judge Kelly put thousands of people in prison over his tenure on the bench, and he never punished one person, never, ever. He'd have people, I mean, he was in a rough part of Georgia. He had people come that had done some of the most heinous things you could imagine. And he would say to them, I love you like a brother. And the community has taken up a collection and built a building with a set of bars around it. And they asked me to decide who's safe in this community and who isn't. I love you, and you're not safe in this community. I love my community. I'm going to put you behind bars. And if you want to do something, as Dr. Tim just said, if you want to do something to free yourself, I'll help you. But you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
And the sooner somebody can be held accountable in that way, the sooner they're going to learn the lesson of being responsible for their behavior instead of blaming everybody else, which is kind of the game most people play.
Well, I know you've got other people waiting, but this is so, so wonderful. I'm going to share this radio show with her tonight. I think that's the way to open it
up. Fabulous.
So,
awesome. And we hold the space, and if she wants to call into the show, you know, tomorrow we would be delighted, or, well, I guess it would be Monday now. Tomorrow's the weekend, but we'd be delighted to support her and see if we can help her to move forward and or, you know, perhaps for the both of them to come. When two people start doing this work together, for the two of them to come and do an intensive together can just open a huge space for all kinds of healing. And we see all the time over the years, you know, I believe the reason for addiction is because people have so much unconscious pain, they just have no relief from that pain, and it becomes
exactly
so burdensome that when they find an anesthetic, you know, a fifth of scotch, feeling no pain. Literally, if you take two molecules of alcohol and take the water out, you've got ether. It's an anesthetic. But, of course, the problem with that anesthetic is it also knocks out the inhibitors in the brain, so we start doing more and more crazy behaviors the more and more alcohol that's drunk. I've seen people, alcoholics, drug addicts, food addicts, who start doing this work and start dealing with their pain, and as they do, they just spontaneously stop using their addictive substance because all of a sudden, instead of feeling relief from pain, they experience the toxic effects of whatever the addictive substance is that they're using. And the tendency is to just drop it and get rid of it. So we'd be delighted to hear from her and to offer all the support and assistance we can in moving to the next level in her process.
1,000,000,000 times. Thank you to both of you and all of you.
Hi, glad to be on the team.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, blessings.
Bye.
Lots of love.
Bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
We have four more callers. The next one is area code 760. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hi, Jeannie. It's Don David from Palm Springs. I just wanted to wish you a happy
welcome.
Birthday because Sunday is my birthday as well. And,
oh, cool. Well, happy Eternal Day, Don.
And I wanted to thank you guys. I'm finally getting the sheets, it's clicking, and I felt like doing about 100 sheets yesterday. So,
all right, that's the kind of feeling we want.
Yeah, so I'm getting it now. So that's all, just a real short
fabulous
hello.
All right, sir,
and
blessings,
happy birthday,
love. All right, anything developing out there in the way of a venue to present the work?
Yes, I have presented to her, but she's really busy with the city, and I'm trying to get her to listen to the show.
Cool.
And
all right.
It looks good. It's she's very open to that. It's also her birthday Sunday.
Oh, really? Well,
the owner of this metaphysical venue.
Ah. It's a good day for some
June
good people to be born.
Popular time. All these wonderful people
yes
that came in.
Yeah.
Jeannie, you said something. I didn't quite hear you.
I said just an awesome day for a bunch of awesome people, huh?
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. You got it.
So thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Okay, blessing, Don. Take care. Bye-bye. Jeannie, we've got another caller.
Okay. Yes, our next caller is 616. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Area code 616, you are on the air. Well, I don't
okay,
know
well, let's
where
go to the
gone
next one because we're down to about 9 minutes. So the next one's 810. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Jeannie. Hey, Dr. Tim, David. It's Adam from Attica, Michigan.
Hey, young man. How do you be?
I'm doing okay. My mom called in yesterday, which I want to acknowledge her for, and we had a, you know, as I think you're aware from her call, had this very negative event in this custody lawsuit occur, so definitely processing that, so, and using it as an opportunity to look in deeper to my own patterns, because I've noticed I have a ability to sabotage myself over and over and over again. And it's been like a 77 times 70 sort of thing. So.
Well, is there anything we can support you with today?
Well, I wanted to acknowledge you guys for the intensive. I'm now aware of how powerful the intensives are because my breath was open even up until like about yesterday, like, you know, and even amidst getting very little sleep and stuff from emotional distress coming up, I was still able to keep the breath open. And so it was just, and I still feel deeply altered by my experience in the intensive.
Awesome. Well, that's the power of a group of people coming together in the space. And, you know, I can't repeat often enough that African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And when you put a number of people who are really working in the same direction, have goals and commitments to move forward and heal, it certainly opens a very powerful space. And, you know, one of the thoughts that comes is maybe your mom might want to look at the 9-day Y intensive coming up in July and move a mountain of stuff in her process. So maybe just put that thought forward to her. And just know that, you know, let her, or just reinforce to her that we are here holding the space for her. And I understand that there's a lot of process and a lot moving for her. And that's powerful, and it's awesome that it's happening. And as we've said so many times before, healing isn't Dr. Feelgood. That's why it's not very popular.
Yes, and yet what's incredible is all this energy that goes into being neurotic or maintaining the stress and whatever, you know, if any of that is harnessed towards healing, it offers so much benefit, even though, you know, it's hard to do the healing. It's like harder still, and it takes so much energy to stay stuck in all these patterns.
Yep, I hear you. Very cool. Well, anything specific we can support you with or any questions for us?
Well, I'm seeing the lawyer today, and my lawyer, and it's like, you know, a lot of this information, the child custody evaluation, a lot of the inaccuracies that were in the testimony have been sort of reinforced. And you know, due in part, I think, to the way that I sabotaged myself in the interview. And so I'm like, you know, one thing that I'm kind of getting is that, like, you know, the most important thing for me to do is to stay conscious because, like, to, you know, sort of take care of myself on some level because part of the way I sabotaged myself going into the interview was, like, you know, I went over all this information from the past and all of these different experiences, and that just served to, like, stir up a lot of trauma. So I went into the interview very sleep deprived and, like, you know, and whenever I'd go into a space of anxiety, I couldn't even remember things. And so I guess I'm looking for help and moving from this step forward. I'm thinking, like, you know, I really got to start making this my own clarity to be like a top priority and operate from that premise rather than making any of this like, oh, I'm so afraid, so I've got to go through all this information. I got to make sure I'm going to do it perfect. And I tried to get past that. You know, I mean, you know, you remember I called him the show and, you know, asked for support on, like, how to handle it. And yet still, my carbon-based memory had so much inertia that I, even though I didn't even know at the time that that's what I was doing, I thought I was just preparing and stuff, I did it. And so,
remember the key to the level of behavior you're at in terms of power person behavior is your level of stress. And when there's no stress, remember, you do what you did to get along with your power person. Stress starts to build. You do what you did to resist and survive your power person. Become ultra-stressed, and you do what your power person did that you hated the most. You go through all that material, and if you're not moving out and forgiving each layer of what comes up, you've got all that vibrating, huge amount of stress with all the goals involved in that. And then you add to that the goal of, I have to be perfect. How does it look like your life, Adam, to think, I have to be perfect?
Oh, very clearly, that's my life.
So you probably only need that goal in your mind to be overstressed and in your power person dynamics. So what does forgiveness look like in that situation? I cancel my goal. I cancel my need to be perfect. In fact, a good mind shifter might be, it's safe and healing for me to totally flub the interview.
All right.
Write it down, breathe into it, and let yourself process all of those things about failure. And then as you let go of failure, you just go in, and now Rukka is your guide, and you're just there in the space of, I already know who I am. I'm going to function from who I am. I'm just going to tell the truth, and that's what's going to keep things clean. I don't have to stress over how do I have to make it up.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, sir. We'll hold space.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
If you're going to be around on your cell, I'm probably going to call you right after the show, okay?
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. Love you.
All right.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Jeannie, you've got another caller.
We actually have two more callers, but the next one is area code 765. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hi, guys. This is Sunny from Indiana.
Hi, Sunny. How can we support you today? What's happening?
This is Sunny, as I said. I don't know if it's Cindy. But anyway, Michael, I just know if you had received the email and if you had a very brief idea of your opinion on that.
Yeah. No, I've been in jail this morning. I've been working in the jail, and when I've got the space, I'll get back to you with that.
Okay. Well.
Okay. We're on run. We're on go. We're on gonna go. I'm not going to be doing anything with emails. I've got so much on my plate. I'm not going to be doing much of anything with emails over the next several days. So, if you just leave that with me, I'd appreciate it. Okay.
Okay. Just wondering if you did receive it, and again, happy birthday to you, Jeannie. And I believe you wish Michael a happy anniversary, and I would think that would be your wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary, and I'm glad you've had an opportunity to maybe enjoy some of the water up there. And how rewarding. What a way to celebrate your birthday with all the good work you've done. God bless you.
It's been fun. Thank you. All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, have a blessed one. Bye-bye.
You too, dear.
All right, bye-bye. Jeannie, you've got another caller.
They actually hung up, and we're down to 90 seconds.
Oh, well, we're just about finished. So I'll just put out the thought. We're complete with our travel workshops for this season. Our next event will be a 10-day food, fun, forgiveness, and work program at Heartland. I don't have the date in front of me, toward the end of July, we'll be doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, 9-day teacher training, 17-day law or 16-day Laws of Living. So if you're ready to take your work to the next level, tap into the website and drop
and
us an email.
If anybody's in the Michigan area, Rex and Missy could use some help with the jail ministry too.
Yes, working in the jail. So if you're interested in that, let us know. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Bring a stranger to the show on Monday. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.